Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, or what I would read. And I would encourage you sometimes to just go back and begin at chapter 1 Ephesians and read at least through chapter 2. And if you don't start shouting, something's wrong. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Let me read those, and I might ask you to read certain parts of it with me. Reverend Hunt likes to say, but God.
Well, yeah.
Who is rich in mercy.
Uh-huh.
For his great love, wherewith he loved who?
Us.
Even what?
We
have quickened who?
Us. Together with Christ.
By grace. Ye are saved.
Amen.
And have raised who?
Us.
Up how?
Together.
And made
us.
Do what?
Together.
In heavenly places. In who?
Christ Jesus.
Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through Amen. Faith. And that not of yourselves, yeah. It is what?
The gift of God.
Not of what?
Words.
Lest any man should what?
Boast.
For we are
his workmanship.
Created where?
In Christ Jesus.
Unto what?
Good works.
Which
God
have before ordained that we should walk in them. All right. Now let me throw a couple of other verses in here just so you'll be able to get a clue. You can go ahead and be seated. It's in the same chapter, in the same book, chapter 1. Look at verses 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. For what purpose? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We first trusted in Christ. And then back over 4 through 10, where we read verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, if you notice a couple of things in there, these are just little sidebar thoughts that we picked up in verse 6. It says, and he have raised us. And he did it for us to be together. So there's a unity. Us is. It's a unity. He raised us up to be together. To be together. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement or agreed? And then he says, he made us. You know, God, let me just, I'm going to use this. This is not what he says, but I'm going to. Sometimes God have to make us get along with each other. He made us sit together. God have to make us do some things. That's not what he mean, though. He made us because our nature was so contrary to his. That's what it really means. He made it possible for us. But all that's just sidebar stuff. What I want to talk about is that we are God's portrait. Right. We are God's portrait. Do you not know what we are today is because of what God has made us? We are, the scripture says, his what? Workmanship. Crafted. And made by him. Now, This amazing letter was written by the Apostle Paul while, of all places, he was in prison in Rome. The letter was carried to the Christians at Ephesus by Paul's friend Tychicus. This letter, unlike most of the other letters written to Christians by Paul, does not address specific problems or situations that might have been occurring within the Christian church. This letter was written to encourage Christians to realize the great riches and the wealth of the Christian's position in Christ. By so doing, then we should go on to Christian maturity. Paul begins this letter rejoicing in prison, in a bad place, back to the wall, in a dark dungeon. He begins this letter rejoicing. Chapter 1, verse 3, look at it. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he continues rejoicing in the magnificent, marvelous grace of God. Grace. God giving us more than we deserve. God's unmerited favor poured out upon undeserving sinners. You and me. We're not in prison. Physically. So then how much more are we to rejoice in the riches of God's grace? A grace that woos. A grace that searches and seeks the sinner. It is a grace that soothes and satisfies the sinner. God's grace is efficaciously sufficient for everyone and every need. What do you need? What do you need? God's grace can soothe. God's grace can strengthen. God's grace can satisfy. God's grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And if God's grace can save you, then God's grace is able to keep you. You're God's portrait. First thing I call your attention to in this passage today is that Paul says that we are made by him. In other words, we are his workmanship. You know, we are saved because God saved us. And we most of us did everything we could to not be saved. And some of us are still doing everything we can, though we are saved, to be unsaved. But we are saved because God saved us. We cannot save ourselves, no matter how we try. And merely being a member of a certain church does not give anyone salvation. It doesn't make any difference if it's Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ. It doesn't matter. Presbyterian, that's not the requirement for salvation. Baptism does not give salvation. Education does not bring salvation. You cannot work, buy, or do enough good to save yourself. Only God can save a sin-sick soul. And he only saves through his son, Jesus Christ. He only saves through his son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is not being religious. Salvation is not from the outside. Salvation is an inward spiritual experience that changes the mind and transforms the heart of the one who believes. See, that means salvation is compelling. Salvation is continuous and it's changing. Salvation, you see, starts with conversion. But conversion is not the end. It's the beginning, the first step. It is the place where a baby is born. It is the beginning, the start. There is growth and maturity that must come. Conversion is the start. God continues his work on the inside from the time of our conversion until we reach the end of our journey. We never stop learning, growing, and maturing until the end of life's journey. Now, because you have been converted, because you have been saved, does not mean God is through with his work in you. Our salvation is not complete right now. God has painted you onto the canvas, but he still has some touch-up work to do. Do I have a witness in today? Reverend Hunt says again, he says that I'm not what I used to be. Don't give up on me. Don't get disappointed. Just be patient with me, because God is still working on me. Yes, God has painted you onto the canvas, but he still has some touch-up work to do. So then, we view salvation from three places: past, present, and future. Now, theological doctrine calls it justification, sanctification, and glorification. You can say you are not what you used to be. That is past. That's because of justification. You are not what you will be. That's present. That's the process of sanctification. You will be what God wants you to be. That's future. That's glorification. Now get it. Now you're going to be what God wants you to be. He may have to bend you. He may have to put you back on the potter's wheel and mold you. Sometimes he has to break you and start all over again. But one thing about it is you're going to be what God wants you to be. He's painting a portrait. The second thing to notice is in our text is that salvation comes from being in Christ. The text says created in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it says? There are those who declare they are saved and reject Jesus Christ. But that is not what the Holy Bible, the Word of God, teaches. No doubt this doctrine of salvation without Jesus Christ comes from the mind of some men that have been blinded by the Prince of Darkness. And the amazing thing is that there are plenty of people who believe in this other gospel that has been declared by men who have died and are now long in their graves. But the Christian belief is founded on a man who knew no sin, a man who came down from heaven, a man who died and rose from the grave. And I tell you, he's still alive today. That man is Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is the only Savior. Have you not read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in none other? It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men but by which he must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you not read what Jesus said in John 4, 6 when he said that he is the only way to receive salvation? He said, I am the way. And then he added, I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Faith in Jesus is the only way to receive the gift of forgiveness. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, of him all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. And then in 1 John, we are told this. I'm throwing this one in. This is the record. He who have the Son have life. He who have not the Son have not life. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that one can receive the gift of eternal life. John 5:39-40, Miss Jessie Williams used to say it all the time, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. And then Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in who? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, when I get ready to come to an end, we need to finally be sure that God has a purpose and a plan for our salvation. And that purpose and plan is unto good works that God has ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. Saved, what a blessing. Saved, now saved from the wrath of God that is to come. We are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. The songwriter says, we are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed. We don't deserve it, but yet we are blessed. And I need to let you know today, we are richly blessed. And we shall not perish. Blessed, we are children of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, because he's always with us. And he will never leave us. Blessed because he leads us and he guides us. We are blessed because we are sealed by his Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We are blessed. We shall have everlasting life. We are God's painting, his portrait. And his purpose for saving us is that we might be on eternal display, a beautiful manifestation of his mercy and his grace, the redeemed of all the ages. That is what Ephesians 2:7 says. Don't you see it? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That is his purpose, that we are seen throughout the universe as a display of his mercy and his grace. And then his plan for us in salvation is that we be vessels of good works. We are not saved that we continue in sin, nor are we saved to soak up all of God's blessings that he give us and sit down in apathy, laziness, and selfishness. We are to carry and share his goodness to others and share it with others. We are saved to do good. We are called Christians because we are to be like Jesus, our Christ. Jesus went around doing good. Isn't that right? Jesus, the scripture says, came to serve, so we are to serve. Jesus came to do the works of the Father. We are to do the works of the Father. We are to do the works of obedience, the works of love, the works of faith. Won't you let good work through your life come so that the world and angels, principalities, and powers, can the seen and the unseen, might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You are on display. When people see you, they know that God is a merciful God. They know that God is a gracious God. They know that God is a good God. When I look where God has bought me from, He didn't have to do that much because he was God, but because sin was so repulsive to him, and because I was a sinner, God was rich in mercy toward me. Not only me, but you. God was rich in his grace. He's given me so much that I don't deserve, and I know I'm not by myself. I know that a lot of people here this morning can testify of the riches of God's grace. Don't deserve it, but yet we are blessed. I know somebody here today can testify that the Lord is good, not just sometime, not when I deserve it, because I don't never deserve it, but God is just good all the time. He's good to me, and God has us on display. He wants us to walk through this world, and he wants men and women to see what we used to be and what we are now and what we will be, and say, you know what? I want God to be merciful to me. I want God to be gracious to me. I want some of God's goodness. Look at them. If God did it for me, I know he can do it for me. I may be low down and no good. I may be addicted to this and that, but look what he done for them. He can do it for me. We are God's display. We are a portrait that God is painting. And don't you know, because of God's goodness, all we've got to do is just keep on walking with him. Don't you know he walks with you, and he talks with you, and he whispers in your ear and tells you you belong to him. For all of that goodness, we ought to just praise him. Just be thankful unto him and give him the glory. Give him the glory. Glory. Give him glory, because he's all right. Isn't he all right? We are God's portrait. You ever pass by a shopping district? Maybe you went in the store, and I've gone in the store sometimes, and I see in some corners, some places, where mannequins are nude. They're thrown over in a corner sometimes. Their arms are twisted. They're lifeless. They're dead. They look terrible. And then you come back out of the store, and you walk by the display window, and you look, and there is a mannequin, and it's dressed, clothed real well. And it stopped. It almost comes to life looking at it. That's the way we are. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And God clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, put us in the display window. So when people see us passing by, they look at us, and they can see something of the mercy and the grace of God. Sometimes you can see what's on that mannequin, and you'll turn around, go back in the store and say, you see that mannequin out there? I want to see that suit. I want that dress. I want the tie that's on the mannequin. And that's what God wants for us. He wants a dead world to look at us and desire him. We're God's portrait. People look at us. They see us doing a little good. Some folk will talk about you. But then some will say, come on, let me help you. And another one will see two or three people trying to help do something, and another three or four will come and help. Because you're trying to do something good. Do something good. And that's what God has for us. He wants us to do good works. Good works. You are God's portrait. You're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. He still got some touch-up work to do. We're still in the process of being sanctified Day by day, he's touching us up. And when we come to the end of life's journey, he will have finished his touch-up work. And that's glorification. Then we'll be just like Christ. Just like him. And that's what God has for us. He wants us to be just like. We're being transformed into the likeness and the image of his Son. Go on to maturity. Go on. Go on. Be what God wants you to be. Doors of the church are open. Maybe somebody here, you've not been saved through faith by the grace of God, and you want to be saved today. You want to give your life to God through Jesus Christ. You've got to come through Jesus. He's the door. If you're here, all you've got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God raised him from the dead, and God says, thou shalt be saved.